Father, we ask that you would be with us as we listen and receive your word today, that we would glean from it something very special and very personal for each and every one of us, that it would anchor us in you all the days of our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I've entitled the sermon today, The Sphinx and the Enduring Love of God. Now, there are many ancient stories told by First Nation peoples from all around the world that hold remarkable similarity to the Bible's account of creation and its subsequent history. These stories, I believe, can build up our hope in Christ Jesus and cement our faith in Him. One such story that I have chosen this morning and would like to share with you comes from the land of Egypt. Although in biblical language, Egypt is always typecast as representative of the ways of the world as opposed to the ways of God, the scriptures also portray Egypt as a land and a people special in God's sight. Let's have a look at Isaiah 19, and we'll read from 21 through 25. And the Lord shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians shall know the Lord in that day. And the Lord shall smite Egypt, he shall smite and heal it. And they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them, and shall heal them. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. You don't often hear that sort of talk, do you, in today's world? But there it is. Written in stone, God's going to work a work in Egypt and with the Assyrian people. So let's begin by considering the existence of the Sphinx in the land of Egypt. Let's have a look at our first overhead. You've probably recognised it and seen it before. The meaning behind the Sphinx has always been a mystery. What could possibly have motivated the mind of the designer to build such a monument, representing the body of a lion and the face of a human? It remains the largest and oldest monolith structure in the world. Carved out of limestone, it stands 73 metres long, 19 metres wide, and 20 metres high. The Sphinx just happens to face all the way to the east. It stands on the Giza Plateau on the west bank of the Nile River in Egypt, and it's approximately 20 kilometres from Cairo. The actual date of its construction is conjecture, but it's probably safe to say it has sat silently on the Giza Plateau for the past 4,000 years. The mystery of the Sphinx, however, begins to unravel when we realise that some ancient pharaohs of Egypt were actually women. However, they were always portrayed in Egyptian art as men. More recent religious trends have attempted to remove this memory by defacing some ancient Egyptian sculptures that once hinted female leadership. Although many scholars have proposed that the head of the Sphinx was the male face of Pharaoh Khafre, there appears to be another possibility. Examination of the Sphinx's face shows that long rods were at one time in the past. We'll have a closer look at the next. You can see the face a little bit closer. at some time in the past, long rods were driven into the nose area, one down from the bridge and one beneath the nostrils. You might be able to see some sort of a indication there, in order to pry the nose off. Why would you want to pry the nose off a statue? Well, it seems to me that most men's noses are different to women's noses, generally. In order to portray a male face, Egyptian sculptures commonly included a beard on the chin. In the case of the Sphinx, it appears that the face has never sported a chin beard. Many Egyptians claim the chin beard has fallen off at some time in the past. However, careful examination of the face confirms no visible damage to the area of the chin. Could the damage inflicted upon the face of the Sphinx, plus the myth of the chin beard having fallen off at some time in the past, been perpetrated to disguise the possibility that the original face was indeed that of a woman? Let's dig a little deeper, shall we? Our story now travels south some 550 kilometres along the Nile River to the locality of Dandra, on the outskirts of the town of Quina. When archaeological diggings discovered the Temple of Hathor buried in the sands at Dandra, let's have a look at the temple. One of the most fascinating discoveries within the structure was what is now called the Zodiac of Dandra. Let's have a look at that particular zodiac. Indeed, it is perhaps the oldest portrayal of the Masoroth, referred to in the book of Job, or the 12 zodiacs in existence. It was found inscribed on the ceiling in a circular mode. Let's have a look at the second overhead. Of course, this is an artistic portrayal of the same thing, just to give you some idea of where all the figures were to stand. But on close examination of this particular zodiac, one symbol appeared out of place amongst the traditional 12 zodiacs or constellations. It was a picture of the Sphinx, with the head of a human and the body of the lion. Let's have a look at the next overhead. Now, this is an actual photo of what was on that particular ceiling embrasement. This here is a close-up. This actually sat underneath it, but you can see the Sphinx here in that particular portrayal. Interestingly, the Sphinx was grouped with the constellation Virgo and the constellation Leo. And by the way, since this find, many other Masoroth paintings have now been discovered in the Middle East, also grouping Virgo and Leo with the strange symbol of the Sphinx. But it appears because the ancient Egyptians understood that through the precession of the equinoxes, the sun gradually shifts its position a little each year, their zodiac hieroglyphics in this particular temple had to be contained within a circle rather than in a straight line. In other words, this ancient artifact acted as a type of sundial to determine seasons and years. In fact, this sundial operated on an annual year of 360 days, or in Egyptian terms, 36 decans or periods, each 10 days in length. It's not surprising that we still refer to the complete circumference of a circle as being 360 degrees. Nor is it surprising that the ancient Jews also measured their year as being 360 days as well. Although archaeologists now know a temple has sat on this same site for countless millennia, thus suggesting the existence of previous zodiac reliefs within the temple. Investigator John H. Rogers, author of Origins of the Ancient Constellations, concluded that the zodiac of Dendera, of course now removed from the original site and presently housed in the Louvre Museum in Paris, would have been commissioned somewhere around the year 50 BC. His reasoning was based upon the position of the stars as shown in the relief. Rogers, somehow, I don't know how he would have done it, but he measured the movement of the stars back through the centuries and then matched his picture with the zodiac of Dendera. Consequently, the year 50 BC was established. Rogers' conclusion was that the zodiac of Dendera represented the only complete map of the ancient sky now in existence. Many present-day astronomical calculations are still based upon the information contained within this incredible ancient sky painting. It appears, however, because the Egyptians wanted to preserve the information for successive generations, the Sphinx had earlier been invented as a memorial guide to the heavens. With it, one would know when and where the sun had begun its course, and when and where it would end. Subsequently, the Sphinx had the head of a woman, representative of Virgo, and the body and tail of a lion, representative of Leo, to tell future Egyptian generations where the story of the heaven began and where it would end. Consequently, it was grouped together with Virgo and Leo. But, as with all godly instrumentalities, the devil makes every effort to discredit, to distract, and deceive all God's children away from the true story of his great plan of redemption. And the devil does this by tempting us away with counterfeits. As we all know, the use of the zodiac is primarily used today, as it was in past days, in pagan worship. Consequently, we find the surviving temple at Dendera, a temple which dates from somewhere around 380 BC, dedicated to the false goddess Hathor, instead of God Almighty, from whom the story of the stars originated. The word Sphinx is actually not Egyptian, but Greek. It comes from the Greek sphingo, meaning to join. Consequently, the zodiac of Dendera binds together in a circle God's heavenly story from the constellation Virgo right through to the constellation Leo. And when we begin to understand the true purpose of the stellar circle in the sky, beginning with Virgo as the virgin, the woman within whom the deliverer of the world, the Son of God, would be supernaturally conceived and born a man, and ending with Leo the lion, the triumphant redeemer, the one who will destroy with the brightness of his coming that old serpent called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world. Well, we can begin to understand the eternal graciousness of the Almighty, the Creator of the universe, the one who has never abandoned his children, the Ancient of Days, who has always extended his hand of salvation to every man and woman, from every tribe and creed, from every generation. Indeed, to everyone who seeks him, the Lord can and will be found. Say that once again. Indeed, to everyone who seeks him, the Lord can and will be found. Although we no longer depend upon messages from the heavens to lead us into justification before God, after all, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, and his testimony has been recorded faithfully by eyewitnesses upon the pages of our holy Bibles. We can, however, I believe, gain a deeper appreciation of the love of God, the passion of Christ, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit as we reflect upon the stories of old, stories such as the Sphinx and the Zodiac of Dendera, for when we can see evidences pointing to the reality that God has always been present in every culture, and that he has never abandoned nor forsaken any of his children. Our hope in the God of hope soars, and our faith in Jesus Christ, his Son, is cemented strong. Psalm 19, Psalm 50, and Psalm 97 read, "The heavens declare the glory of God and his righteousness, for God is judge himself, and all the people see his glory." Family, friends, the very existence of the Sphinx, resting as it does on the Giza Plateau in Egypt, remains a sentinel for the gospel of Christ, pointing humanity to the reality of the Apostle Paul's words recorded in the book of Romans. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek," or I've placed in brackets there, "to the Gentiles." This good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Allow me to end today with a short prayer sent to me by my beautiful 15-year-old granddaughter, Anna, from Mackay. May the Lord use you today to do his work in the lives that surround you. May today be all you need it to be. May the peace of God and the freshness of the Holy Spirit rest in your thoughts, rule in your dreams tonight, and conquer all your fears. May God manifest himself today in ways you have never experienced before. May your joys be fulfilled, your dreams be closer, and your prayers be answered. I pray that faith enters a new height for you. I pray that your territory is enlarged. I pray peace, healing, health, happiness, prosperity, joy and rest. The true and undying love of God be present all the days of your life. In Jesus' name, amen.